Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, Glenn Macnow on this Thursday in Philadelphia. And we are ready for the Dallas Cowboys. The question, Glenn, is the Eagles offensive line ready for Greg Hardy and Randy Gregory and that good group up front?
You decided to start with the top
one,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can give you 87 reasons for optimism, and that's the toughest one.
It's the story of the day.
Well, it is the story of the day, and Jason Peters doesn't practice again today. And so far this year, nobody who has failed to practice on Thursday has played on Sunday. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but it's not looking great right now, which means that Lane Johnson gets to debut at left tackle, where we all figured he would eventually be. Maybe not this year. Maybe not yet. And this is my biggest concern. So he's going to play left tackle, which means that Dennis Kelly's going to play right tackle?
Or Tobin. Tobin plays outside of tackle. Okay. And Kelly plays inside of guard.
But the right side of the line is a little untested, which to me means guess where they're going to move Greg Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to move Greg Hardy around. They're going to flip-flop with Randy Gregory, mm-hmm. who's no slouch, very quick off the edge. The Eagles will have to make adjustments. And it is a game of adjustments throughout this 2015 season. A lot of stress on this coaching staff. And it's a great test for Chip Kelly. It's a great test for the offensive strategy. It's a great test for how they want to block this thing up.
It is, and kind of this is the time. I know everybody hates must win. I'm not going to give you must win. Actually, I'll tell you it's must win for the Cowboys, which makes me a little bit nervous, but not that much. But, yeah, if you just want to look at the offensive line, that's the biggest challenge the Eagles are going to have. They're going to have to protect the quarterback. He's going to have to not fumble the ball. He's going to have to not throw interceptions. And this is the game where you learn if the Eagles are, in fact, contenders.
Yeah, we heard from Sam Bradford yesterday, and he feels like he's making progress slowly, steadily. And maybe, Glenn, in the big picture here, we kind of just went overboard on, after watching the Eagles in the preseason, pile up the points, lead the NFL in points scored, thinking that would cross over to the regular season so quickly,
But you know what, I keep thinking this, and presumably I'll be right one of these weeks, that they're going to snap and the offense is going to come together, and we've seen this with Chip Kelly's team. We've seen an offense that becomes unstoppable, and we've seen it in the regular season. We haven't really seen it yet this season, except bits and pieces. Yep. Maybe this is the week.
We'll see. Hey, lots going on with the Eagles today. Let's take you out to the training field. We've got Alex Smith, our Eagles 360 update.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith, and this is your 360 update. A cloudy day of work here at the NovaCare Complex for the Eagles as they get set for Sunday night's game in Dallas. Today we heard from Eagles head coach Chip Kelly, who spoke about how the Eagles' running game was mapped out at the beginning of the season when both DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews were signed to the team.
We didn't sell anything. We were just very honest in terms of what we're doing, and we were bringing two guys in here, and those are the two guys we wanted. So explained it straight out. They knew that they were both here. They were actually both here at the same time, so they knew exactly what was going on. I don't think there's any selling job that has to go on. It's just, this is what we do. Here's the offense that we run, and these are the guys we want to have be a part of it, and they both liked it. So,
while there have been a lot of questions about how the Eagles would distribute carries between Murray and Matthews, today Murray spoke about how it doesn't really matter how many carries he gets as long as the team comes away with a win.
Like I said, I knew, you know, that's a discussion that we've had, and, you know, I'm not going to share what we had, but like I said, this is, you know, this is a good team. You know, obviously this is our team. We're not making any changes. This is, you know, what we have. And, you know, us as individual players, we got to step up every single day. We can't look back and say, oh, we had this, I had that. And this is a group of guys that we're going to battle with, and every single day you got to come to work and put your hard hat on and learn and try to be, have the white belt mentality that we talk about. Just learn the new things and continue to grind and grind and grind until it gets fixed.
For Murray, this weekend's game will be his first visit back to Dallas since leaving the team via free agency. Today, Murray spoke about how it's just another game as the Eagles look to get back to their winning ways.
Nah, I don't think it will be. You know, I spent a lot of time there, but, you know, I'm here now, and, you know, this is where I've been. And obviously, I'm sure emotions will be high for, you know, a lot of people, but just another game.
And finally, an injury update here from the NovaCare Complex. Linebacker Kiko Alonso and left tackle Jason Peters once again did not practice, nor did running back Ryan Matthews. Full participants in today's practice were Kiko Alonso, Nelson Aguilar, Brandon Bear, and Brian Brayman. And for all the latest Eagles news, be sure to keep it right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thanks so much, Alex. We've got so much to get to today. Great show for you. We are going to hear from Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles, in a bit. This guy's got some bold predictions, which presumably he will get right. But when we return,
I guarantee you I'm not going to be 100%.
Well, that's he got one right. When we return to Eagle 360, we go behind enemy lines talking Dallas Cowboys in just one moment.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in. You'll see the changes. You'll feel it. You'll love it.
Carbs to compete. Electrolytes to replenish. Everything you need to keep sweating.
What makes a Temple owl? Meet Stella. She's wise, fierce, and she's not alone. Temple University, where owls call home. We are the cherry in white. The city is our classroom, and we lead the rush hour, making our mark on every field around the world. A world without Temple, well, that's like the sky without the North Star. Temple, never stopping.
Be the playmaker in Madden 16, available now. Welcome back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack. Now time now to go behind enemy lines. Chris McPherson with David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. The reeling Cowboys, can they keep it going on Sunday night?
Hello, everyone. It's time to go behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. This segment is presented by Gatorade. I'm Chris McPherson, and I'm going to welcome in from our sister site, so to speak, DallasCowboys.com, David Hellman, who writes for the team's official site. David, looking at the quarterback position there for Dallas, what does Matt Castle bring to the table that gives the team the best chance to win on Sunday night against the Eagles?
It would have been an easier question to answer a week ago coming off that loss to the Giants. I mean, he did have three interceptions in that game, but, you know, he threw it around. He hit some deep targets. He had the confidence to go downfield and stretch the Giants secondary. Fast forward a week, and he didn't turn the ball over against Seattle, but he only threw for 97 yards on the day. Granted, Seattle's got about as good a secondary as they come in the NFL, but it didn't lead to a whole lot of inspiration around the fan base and around the NFL about his ability to utilize Dez Bryant and the Cowboys' other targets in the passing game. I still think he's probably the best option because we've seen him do it before. He does have an 11-year track record in the NFL of being able to do that. So I think it's back to the drawing board and trying to find a better way to get all these guys utilized. Like I said, he showed the ability to do it against a pretty good Giants defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to that setback against the Seahawks.
It'll be very interesting from the standpoint where the Eagles saw Castle with the Vikings a couple of years ago. He torched him for nearly 400 passing yards. Minnesota got the upset win. Will it be that Castle or the one that we saw last week when he played for the Cowboys against Seattle? You mentioned Dez Bryant, David. How encouraging was it for the Cowboys, even though he didn't have the numbers, just two catches for 12 yards, to come out of the game healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously a disappointing result. I mean, they didn't win the game. And he only had two catches for 12 yards. Richard Sherman really erased him from the field, so to speak. But like you said, I mean, he came through it healthy. Only been 7 weeks since he broke his foot, so he's right in that range where you were expecting him to come back. Obviously, a lot of speculation about how healthy he is, but he practiced today, first day of preparation for the Eagles. He figures to practice fully this week. So it certainly doesn't look like there have been any setbacks. Otherwise, I think you would have seen him, you know, pulled off the field or at the very least limited. So that's certainly a good sign. Now it's just a matter of getting him the ball, getting him involved in the game plan. And again, you know, like I said, I think it's about as good a secondary as there is in the NFL, with the Seattle Seahawks. So it'll be interesting to see how they adapt against Philadelphia.
David, Stephen Jones said this week that he does not regret the decision to not bring back DeMarco Murray to Dallas. Obviously, he signed here with the Eagles. Can you talk about Darren McFadden and what he's done to steal the starting running back job? He's been the featured guy, had over 120 yards of all-purpose offense against Seattle last week. What has he done to secure that job?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to confuse what Darren McFadden's done these last 2 weeks with DeMarco Murray's 1,800-yard season here in Dallas last year. But McFadden has probably been the closest they've come to Murray since he left. I mean, he pounded away on the Giants for 150 yards on 29 carries. Not the best day against the Seahawks. I mean, he only averaged 3.2 yards per carry, but he just consistently gained yards, and he's softened up that defense. And, you know, we already talked about how bad the Cowboys' passing attack was in that game. So all of those things considered, I think you'd have to call it a solid performance. So through 2 weeks at least, he's kind of showed that ability that DeMarco did last year to take 20 to 30 carries a game. And I think that's really Jason Garrett's focus these last couple of years, especially with this offensive line, is, you know, it's not necessarily about making big runs or breaking big plays every down, but you want to consistently pound and tire out that defense and soften them up for the fourth quarter. I think that's something McFadden's been able to do these last 2 weeks. The big question for him is, you know, how well can he hold up? I think injury concerns have been one of the biggest storylines of his NFL career, and he certainly hasn't been a guy that's been used to getting, you know, 20 to 30 carries a game on a consistent basis. So this will be the third week in a row where he figures to be the primary running back, and, you know, I think it's crucial for the Cowboys that he stay healthy and stay productive.
David, looking at the defensive side of the football for Dallas, a player I want to ask you about is first-round pick Byron Jones and the way that the Cowboys have utilized him. He's been a safety. He's also been used as a slot corner. Going against the tight ends like Brent Celek and Zach Ertz on Sunday night, how do you think the Eagles will, or how do you think Dallas will try to defend the Eagles' tight ends?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I mean, and, you know, kudos to Byron. He took over a starting safety job last week against the Seahawks. But really the story of his rookie year has been, you know, he's been the guy that they use in nickel and dime situations. Like you said, the tight end has kind of been his primary target. I mean, he played fantastically against Ertz up in Philly in week two when the Cowboys won that game 20-10. He held Rob Gronkowski to about as pedestrian a day as you can expect. I think he held him to 60 yards on four or five catches in that game. He certainly didn't kill the Cowboys the way he's killed a lot of other teams. So, you know, for that reason alone, I really thought the Cowboys would probably keep him in that nickel-dime role, but they moved him up into the starting lineup last week. And, you know, his versatility is amazing. You know, they drafted him thinking he'd probably play corner, and all of a sudden he's playing nickel and dime corner, and now he's a starting safety. And he's done well at everything they've asked him to do. So it's been impressive considering he's a rookie, what all he's able to do. I think you'll probably still see him move down and move out wide and deal with some of these tight end formations when, you know, when Celek and Ertz are out there, or potentially when they're both out there. But, you know, for the time being, it looks like he's going to be handling starting safety job duties as well, which is just kind of a testament to how well he's handled everything.
David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. Thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines, presented by Gatorade, here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thanks so much, Chris. Thanks so much, David. Good talk, factual talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys. So we go from the real to the bold, and that's Glenn Mack now, who comes down the pike with some big, bold predictions for Sunday night.
One, two, three coming up. And Dave, I feel really confident about two of them. They're coming up right after this.
The tournament is there. You're here. And before you take the team's star midfielder from here to there, along with his entourage, you have some things to do, like finding a place to stay, getting an oil change, mapping out the best route. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Roadside assistance? Not today, but always on call. So wherever your journey takes you, AAA helps you get there. So everyone's a winner. Start your journey at AAA.com.
I septa Philly.
I septa Philly.
Your septa Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I-SEP to Philly. The 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall.
FTC.
Delco.
Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I-SEP to Philly.
Anywhere.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more boys and girls get in the game this year. For every Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports. To learn more, visit goodsports.org/DunkinPhilly. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack now with you. It's Eagles 360 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And it's now my time to sit back and chuckle as Glenn Mack now offers three of his five bold predictions for Sunday night.
Here you go. Number one. The Eagles, this includes Sam Bradford, by the way, the entire Eagles will not turn the ball over this game. The Dallas Cowboys defense has only four turnovers all year. Of course, three of them were against the Eagles in that first game. But they don't get the ball. They don't force turnovers. They're not going to do it. It's going to be a perfect zero turnover for the Eagles this week. You like that one?
Critical if the offensive line comes together. We don't know the status of Jason Peters at this point. So clearly, if the Eagles win the battle up front, that makes it a whole lot easier for Bradford, for DeMarco Murray, for Ryan Matthews, and for a pass-catching core that needs to secure the football.
All right. Number two, okay. Little more optimism on this one. DeMarco Murray will rush for 100 yards this game. I know I predicted this earlier this year, and I think, what did he get, 85, something like that. I got close. But here you go, Dave Spadaro.
Yeah.
The lead runner on opponents against the Dallas Cowboys since they played the Eagles, which would include Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, LeGarrette Blount, Orleans Darkwa, and Marshawn Lynch have averaged 4.6 yards per carry. You can run on this team. Orleans Darkwa, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You can run on this team. The status of Ryan Matthews, of course, is a little uncertain. I think Murray's going to get the carries, and I believe he will get those 100 yards. Going back to Dallas, big incentive this week.
And he's talked about it today. He's very stoic. It's just another game. But you know that DeMarco Murray's going to be fired up to go back to that stadium, to the people he knows, to put on a good show. I wonder what the reaction will be from the crowd in Philadelphia. How would they react? Well, we reacted great when Donovan McNabb came to town and Brian Dawkins came to town and Andy Reid came to town, so I expect a classy reaction from the Dallas Cowboys crowd. And then
Dallas Cowboys fans?
I expect DeMarco Murray to have I think he'll have a big game also.
There you go. All right, here you go. Number three. Actually, one more optimism. Kiko Alonso's coming back, and I think we're going to finally get that Kiko Alonso that everybody thought when the Eagles picked him up in the LeSean McCoy trade. Remember, this guy was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2013. We haven't seen that kid yet. He floats the ball. He's instinctive. Actually, here's the prediction. He will either get a turnover, force a turnover, receive a turnover, or have a sack this game. It's going to be big-time return for Kiko Alonso.
It will be remarkable if he has that kind of impact after not playing for more than a month here, after playing very sparingly in the preseason, to think that a guy can come right in and just, boom, make an impact. Then you're speaking about a very special player. And I think Kiko has great ability. I just think there's some rust to be knocked off here, Glenn, and I hope so.
This is why they're bold predictions.
I understand that.
He'll come back and be okay.
I'm looking for something like Kiko Alonso will hold Jason Witten to under 30 yards receiving. That would be a bold prediction that I would buy, and that would be a big impact.
Well, good. So next week, you can grade me on all
right,
these.
We've got two more coming your way from Glenn on the kickoff show on Sunday night at 7:30. Got you covered all the way through the Eagles and the Cowboys game on Sunday Night Football in America. When we return, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, in studio. Another Eagles-Cowboys game for him, and possibly talking about a must-win for the Eagles.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. This season, shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
I got tickets, Metro tickets.
You need a Metro ticket. Talk to me, please.
How do I even know these are real tickets?
You know, you just to touch it.
How do I know they're legit?
Is this leather legit? I mean, how do we really know? It looks good, right?
Is the Metro paying you to do this?
No, I'm paying myself. I gotta make profit.
That makes more sense.
Does the baby need a Metro ticket? I'll give her one on me. These tickets, they're not stealing your soul. You can look at them. Man, nobody wants to buy tickets from a guy on the street. I don't understand.
One day, a rider made a decision. The decision to ride on and save money. He decided to save money by switching his motorcycle insurance to Geico. There's no shame in saving money. Ride on. Ride proud. Geico Motorcycle. Great rates for great rides.
The voice is rested, the energy level is always up, and the Eagles are back on the football field. That makes this guy very happy. We welcome into the studio the great Merrill Reese. Back from the bye week, which I know we all enjoy it, but it's no Eagles football, so it's...
No, I mean, I have a good time during the bye week. I relax, play a little golf, watch a lot of football, but I wish it were 20 straight weeks plus.
Well, we've got a big one on Sunday night, Merrill. Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, first question. Must win. I know mathematically it isn't, but in your mind, must win for the Eagles.
No. Because must, to me, also indicates mathematical.
Okay.
And late in the season, when things are all at the point where you cannot afford to lose. Now, I'm not telling you that a loss would be good or accepted by anybody. I certainly think a win would be huge. But it's not do or die because of the mathematics involved in the NFC East where the leading teams have four losses.
I will never ask you again until it is a mathematical...
Well, it doesn't exactly... I thought, for example, earlier this season the Jets win was a must win because they didn't have any yet. They needed to win that game at that point. That was almost a must win. You didn't want to go 0-3. Who goes anywhere after you're 0-3? You can come back from 0-2 and have a season. But 0-3 almost historically knocks you out of the box.
All right.
So that was more of a must win.
Got it.
Again, a win in Dallas or Arlington, Texas would be huge.
Biggest concerns playing the Cowboys, particularly from the Eagles' offensive side of the ball. That first meeting went so poorly for the Eagles' offense.
It did. They've got to be meticulous. They've got to be accurate. Sam Bradford's got to have a very good game. The receivers have got to start catching the football. And I think they can, and I think they will. And I think this is a team that really needed the bye more from an emotional and mental standpoint than from a physical standpoint.
The offensive line picture is unclear. Jason Peters not practicing on Thursday. We don't know about Friday or Saturday. If the Eagles have to rearrange and put Lane Johnson, for example, at left tackle, Merrill, how does that impact the offense? And it does significantly, I know that. But in your mind, does Chip say, okay, we now have to max protect, and what kind of adjustments would he have to make?
I don't know. I mean, he won't even broach things like that at his press conferences, his media sessions. He basically says, we'll deal with that when it comes. I'm not going to deal in hypotheticals. See, he may not have used that word this time, but he's said it many times, and we get his message. So I don't know what he's going to do. It would seem logically that you're going to take Lane Johnson and make him the blind side protector. And I think eventually Lane Johnson's going to be a left tackle anyhow. Although, I'm not so sure that Jason Peters isn't going to be the one lining up because usually when there's a chance, he is out there. He goes down and you think, oh, he's done for the season.
Right.
And then suddenly he rises and he's ready and he's a top-flight protector.
Your view, Merrill, on the running back situation, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, where do you go there? How would you like to see those carries divided?
Well, I think the guy who is going to come into this game with a lot of emotion, not the kind of emotion that plays with you, but the kind of emotion that you play with, is DeMarco Murray. He's playing against the team who basically said to him, we think a lot more of Dez Bryant than we do of you, despite the fact that you set all kinds of franchise records with your yards from scrimmage and everything else that he had, that he, not records because that was Emmitt Smith, but led the NFL in yards from scrimmage and ball carries. I think that he's got a lot in him.
Who carries the ball more, Merrill? You make the call.
DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray for two reasons. Number one was the scenario, and number two was the fact that at this point, Ryan Matthews hasn't been active in practice. He's done some drills, but next to his name in the daily report is a parenthesis, and in that parenthesis it says groin.
Right.
So I don't know that he's 100%.
If you are Bill Davis, Merrill, and you're going against Matt Castle, and you know Dez Bryant is out there, what are you trying to take away 1, 2, and 3 from the Cowboys?
Well, I think number one, Dez Bryant. I don't think he played particularly well in last week's game against Seattle, but that was his first game back in ages. But he's their weapon. He's the guy who can really put teams on their heels. He's the guy who last December almost single-handedly wrecked the Eagles. Of course, Tony Romo had to get him the ball. But Dez Bryant, at his best, is very, very difficult to stop. So I think he's the number one guy. Okay. You can't take him away, but you have to minimize what he does to you.
Okay, that's number one. Who's number two?
Number two, I think that you've got to account for Greg Hardy. He is.
I'm talking about the defense versus the offense.
Okay, you're just talking about offense.
Yes, Bill Davis versus the offense.
Bill Davis versus the offense. Okay, I think the Cowboys' running game doesn't really worry me too much. Darren McFadden is an average or slightly above average back. There's no more Joseph Randall. They deep sixed him. So I think the biggest thing, the other guy you always worry about is number 82.
Yeah.
The guy who has caught more passes than anybody in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, that's Jason Witten. So you take those two guys away. And then there's the other guy who annoys me. He always annoys me. I'm thinking, what is he doing out there? But he hurts the Eagles. It's Cole Beasley, that number 11.
I will tell you that my number one is the offensive line. I think the Cowboys will try to run the football and jam it down the Eagles' throats.
I don't think they can.
Panthers. Well, it's going to be a great matchup. The Eagles' interior, and I think that's the great one. Merrill, it's not a must-win.
But it's a very big game.
Very Merrill Reese in studio here on Eagles 360 on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in. You'll see the changes. You'll feel it. You'll love it.
Experience the power of physical therapy at NovaCare Rehabilitation. We know the importance of an active lifestyle. If you're currently injured, let us bring that active lifestyle back to you. NovaCare is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. And with more than 100 convenient locations throughout Philadelphia and South Jersey, go to NovaCare.com today and request an appointment online or call 800-770-6682. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
You have any more chips? Fellas?
I'm sorry.
We were daydreaming.
About that VIP tailgate and game tickets?
Yeah.
And that pregame sideline experience.
Exactly.
Or even Eagles season tickets.
How do you know?
You both have the new instant game from the Pennsylvania Lottery.
Yeah, the Eagles instant game with top prizes of 50 grand.
And second chance prizes including season tickets.
The Pennsylvania Lottery. Bring your dreams to life.
Do you have what it takes to win big? All you have to do is convert a field goal from the 20-yard line, and you could win $10,000 plus $10,000 for the school of your choice. Learn more at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Santander. We are back. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack now. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. But first, the game plan crew, Mike Quick and Ike Reese, discussing, well, one of the offensive linemen who is going to be key on Sunday night, a progress report on guard, tackle, offensive lineman, Matt Tobin.
All right, Mike, progress report brings us to Matt Tobin. He's been our starting right guard pretty much all year long. had to switch over to left tackle last game.
Yep.
Jason Peters was injured early. I thought he did a pretty good job here filling in for Jason Peters on such a short notice.
I ISO'd on him several times, and he did a really nice job filling in. But he's just gotten better, and the offensive line has gotten better because of it, at guard as well as his play at the left tackle spot.
Yeah, you watch him here again, this run play. He's on a tag team block here, and he gets up to the second level. And that's the difficult position these guys find themselves in, playing line for the Eagles, is that you're going to have to do more than just single block. More often than not, you're going to have to do tandem blocks. Nice job of Matt Tobin right there. Watch him here against Jared Allen here on the outside. Again, he knows he's going to be one-on-one with Jared Allen, but I like his quiet feet. And what I mean by that is he doesn't seem to be panicking. He trusts his technique, and he punches at the right time. Look at that, Jared Allen on the ground.
You know, this is not a normal or average pass rusher. This is one of the better pass rushers in our league, and he does a really nice job on him, gets him to the ground, and giving Sam Bradford space to work in the pocket.
Watch him here again, singled up on Jared Allen. Again, I like his technique. He knows he's single blocking here. He's going to get the punch in there. He's going to ride him by. Listen, you're talking about 3 or 4 feet in between he and Sam Bradford. That's how you keep your quarterback clean.
That gives your quarterback a lot of confidence to throw the ball, to stand in that pocket and make throws. This is just outstanding play by the offensive line, and they need a lot more of that.
Again, being forced in a difficult position, having to fill in, but Jason Peters did a nice job. He'll be back at his natural spot at right guard, where he's been doing a fantastic job all year.
Thanks so much, guys. We've got a feature coming your way online here. We're going to call it, and Glenn and I did it on Tuesday, talking about some of the Eagles that we felt, some of the Cowboys that we disliked the most. But now we're going to talk about the Eagles' heroes in this rivalry against the Cowboys. We'll tease you with some of the runners-up, the guys who didn't make the list. I'll throw one out there.
Go ahead.
Joe Scarpatti, 1966, stole the ball from Dan Reeves, saved an Eagles win. Before my time, before your time, but significant to those who were there.
I like old school. Okay. All right, I'll give you an old school one. Timmy Brown, the great Timmy Brown, had two returning touchdowns in one game against the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Not bad, eh?
How about this one? Jesse Small.
What did he ever do?
The Bounty Bowl. How about the guy? This guy does not make our list. Wilbert Montgomery doesn't make our list.
No, I guess he does.
Had the big run against the Cowboys in the 1980 NFC Championship game, touchdown. Sent the crowd into delirium. He's not on our list.
All right, one of my favorites, and again, close but not quite. We talked about this guy early in the week, Bobby Taylor. The Eagles, Ray Rhodes specifically drafted him to cover Michael Irvin, and he did. They played, take out his rookie year, they played 6 games against each other. Michael Irvin had only 22 catches, 315 yards, 1 touchdown against the Eagles. That's because Bobby Taylor could cover him.
The big cornerback shutting down the big receiver. And finally, Ron Jaworski didn't make our list. Now, that's going to segue me into our Amorosos on the Menu segment tease for you. What's ahead? Well, we hope you check out The Last Word, a new feature, Q&A that I'm doing with significant names, faces, people who have shaped this Eagles franchise. First up, a little chat with Ron Jaworski about the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. He had very little success against Dallas, but a lot to say about the rivalry, the success of the Eagles in that 1980 season. And an opinion on this 2015 team. Also on the menu, we've got you covered with Crunch Time. Chris Maragos in studio. And then key matchups, Eagles-Cowboys, Chris McPherson and I on Eagles 360 on Friday. So there you go.
Sounds good. It's going to be a great week. Dallas week is always a great week.
Great weekend. Big football game ahead. Glenn, thank you so much. We look
always
forward to finding out how many of your bold predictions come true on Sunday night. We'll see you next week. For Glenn Macnow, Dave Spadaro, thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.